Let us begin with a prayer to Our Lady, the most beautiful woman who ever walked the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, thank you so much for creating us as your beautiful daughters. God, thank you for the witness, the example of your mother, Mary. Mama Mary, we love you. You pray for us constantly as your daughters. We ask for your intercession because it is so powerful. Be with us in this room right now. Open our hearts, our ears, our minds. Help us to be docile to the Holy Spirit. Mama Mary, pray for me that the Holy Spirit speaks through me and gives me the words to speak. And so we ask for your intercession together as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I love how, okay, we're singing Taylor Swift's Love Story, right? And you guys, we're talking about this. We love love songs, and we love the idea of love. I mean, when we listen to the radio, you know, we listen to songs like, All of me loves all your, yeah. Okay, like you know these songs, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I want someone to love me in all my curves and edges too, and my muffin top, okay? You know, like all of it, you know? And then we hear songs and that like we're like moved and we're like, oh my gosh, I want this kind of love. Like, baby, I will be loving you till we're 70. And you're like, this is gonna be my wedding song, you know? Like for reals. And we know what real love is and we long for it. At the same time, we also know like what real love isn't. Like when we hear songs on the radio about when someone's like unfaithful, they cheat, they betray us, they use us or abuse us, oh, we get angry. We're like, I dug my key into the side of his pretty little souped up four-wheel drive. Into his leather seat. Okay, stop singing. You're gonna get angry again. Okay, you're like, I'm gonna take a Louisville slugger. Okay, you know, I'm like, when I heard that song, I was like, girl, on a scale of 1 to Adele, how angry are you? Okay, for reals. Because ladies, we know we were made for love. We were made for love, and we have this in our hearts, this longing, this desire for real, authentic love. And we know that when someone uses us, when they cheat on us, when they betray us, when they abuse us, we know that's not real, authentic love. Because in our hearts, we were made for real, life-giving, authentic love. And how do we know this? Well, we just go back to the beginning, and it says, in the beginning, God created the world. Well, in Scripture, in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. And if God is love, it's the nature of love that love always has to go out of itself. Okay, it's a big word, it's called diffusive. Love always has to go outwards. And so God created the world out of love because he is love. And God wanted us to share in his love. So you know what it says in Genesis that God separated the sky from the sea and he separated the land from the sea, created the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. And then he created the flying things, the swimming things, the creepy crawly things. And on the sixth day, God created animals. And then after the animals, who did God create? Us, right? Male and female. It says, in his image and likeness, God created the male and female. You guys, you know what that means? That means that you and I, we were created in the image and likeness of love. It means that every person on this earth, whether you are Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, atheist, every single person on this earth was created for two things. Mother Teresa said this too. Mother Teresa said, we were not made for diplomas. We weren't made for success and money. We were made for two things, to love and to be loved. We were made to love and to be loved. And so God created us in his image and likeness, the image and likeness of love, so that we would love and that we would be loved. And we all have this ache and longing in our hearts to love and to be loved. And when we get to the second creation story, it gets a little more specific. It said that Adam was created, and Adam was looking and longing for someone to love. And he was walking around the garden looking for a suitable partner. And what's funny, if you read the Bible really closely, it says this. It says, Adam looked around at the animals to find a suitable partner. I was like, I think that's illegal. You know, like, can you imagine? He, like, goes to the giraffe, and he's like, do you want to cuddle? And the giraffe's like, actually, I don't know what a giraffe says. It's like, what does a giraffe say? I don't know. Like, get away from me, creep. And so Adam has this, like, longing ache in his heart to be loved. And I come from a very musical family. How many of you here come from a very musical like family, or you're musical? Okay, for the older generation, my family's like the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music, okay? We sing like the Happy Birthday song in five-part harmony. For the younger generation, my family's like Glee on crack, okay? I always have a song going through my head. Any of you guys like this? Always have a song going through your head? Yes, I'm like this, okay. So when I read scripture, I imagine Adam has this ache and this longing to be loved so bad, and none of the animals are providing to be a suitable partner. They're not like him. And so I imagine Adam is like walking through the garden. He's like, each morning I get up, I die a little. Can barely stand on my feet. Take a look in the mirror and cry, Lord, what you doing to me? I have spent all my years believing you. I just can't get no relief. Oh, somebody, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love? Or he's like, I just need somebody to love. I don't need too much, just somebody to love. Even Bieber knows the ache of Adam, okay? So Adam was walking around the garden, okay, looking for someone to love. And who does God create? Woman, right? He's like, whoa, man. Okay. Because it says in scripture that God looked at Adam and it says, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And one of the deepest fears of the human heart is that we're going to be alone. And you know, as like women, we all like, we're like, I like cats and everything, but I don't want to be the cat lady. You know, like, I don't want like 80 of them running around and being like, I love you. I know nobody else does. Okay, you know, like we don't want to be alone. That's the deepest fear of the human heart. And so God even says it is not good for man to be alone. And so God creates Eve. And Adam's response is, at last, my love. Well, he didn't say, okay, he didn't sing that song. But he goes, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Like, at last, this is one I was made to be a gift for, made to love. And what's so beautiful, ladies, I don't know if you see this, but woman in the story of creation is the last to be created. Why? And some of you might be like, oh, of course, good will last about everything. I don't know, you don't, I will cut you. You know, you get all your bone quickly. Listen. I get all sassy Puerto Rican bone queen. I'm like, oh no, you didn't. Who do you think you are? Seriously, you don't know me like Santa Maria Madre de Dios. You know, I start all that stuff. No. You know why woman is the last to be created? Because in scripture, in the creation story, everything gets more and more beautiful and more complex. So ladies, yeah, you can give a what? Okay. Yeah. Ladies, we are the most beautiful and most complex creature in all of creation. That's why men will never understand us, okay? And they're like, oh, thank God, okay. But why? Why is it that woman is the last to be created? Why is she more complex, more beautiful inherently than a man? And what's amazing is Pope John Paul, St. John Paul the Great, what? Give it up for John Paul, St. John Paul. Pope John Paul called woman the crown of creation. How are we more complex, more inherently beautiful? Well, get this, ladies. Our bodies as a woman are inherently more beautiful than a man's, okay? This is why 98% of advertisements use women's bodies to sell their product. Now, unfortunately, they're using it in the wrong way. They're using women as objects, okay, to sell their product. But why is a woman's body? I mean, can you imagine, like, looking at a billboard and, you know, normally you see like a woman in a bikini, but can you just imagine like a beer like thing and like it's like a man in a Speedo? Hey, you're like, oh, my eyes, you know, put it away, you know, cover it up. Because a woman's body is inherently more beautiful. Why? And why are we more complex? Because ladies, no matter how hard a guy tries, he can never get Prager's, okay? And guys, like all the ladies are like, oh, you know, guys are like, shoot, dang. Because men cannot get pregnant. But ladies, we sometimes think that this is a curse and that it's like awful, like, oh, why do women, like, why are the women the ones that have to get pregnant and go through labor and all this stuff? And I can say up here as a woman who's had two children, I have an almost two-year-old daughter, and then I have a baby who's here. She's almost 5 months old. And yeah, they're super cute and chubby and adorable. Okay. But you know what I can say you know, it is frustrating, like, when you're a teenager and you're growing up and you're like, ugh, my period, like, all this stuff, like, I have cramps, it's so annoying, it's painful, this and this, I have so many issues. Let me tell you, for the 9 months that I got to carry those babies, and it says in scripture that God knits us in our mother's womb. For 9 months, this little baby was growing in me, and I wondered, like, what is this child gonna look like? What is their face gonna look like? What's their little nose gonna look like? And they're kicking me and punching me, and I'm like punching back. I'm like, hey, stop it. They're like, wah-pah. Like, little baby ninja, yeah, you know? And I'm like wondering, like, what are they gonna look like? And then after labor, which hurts like hell, you know, like, all of a sudden they're born, and you really do forget, like, people, you really do, because, like, you're like, I'm never doing this again. And then the baby comes, you're like, I can't wait to do this again, you know? Or at least I did. Maybe some women are like, yeah, maybe you. but you see this face and you're like, this is the baby that's been in my womb for 9 months. It's just the most beautiful thing. And you know what? Fulton Sheen, who is Venerable Fulton Sheen, he was a bishop in the 1950s. If you've never read Fulton Sheen's stuff, oh my gosh, it is so beautiful. I love Fulton Sheen. He's my spiritual grandpa. Fulton Sheen said, when a woman is pregnant, she's like a walking tabernacle. Okay, get this picture. When you go into a Catholic church and there's a gold tabernacle, what's in the tabernacle? Jesus, the bread of life, okay? Jesus is in that tabernacle. Well, what do? When you see the tabernacle? You genuflect out of reverence for the fact that Jesus, the bread of life, is within that tabernacle. Fulton Sheen said, a woman, when she is pregnant, she is a walking tabernacle of life. He said, in fact, she is so sacred, you could genuflect in front of her. And ladies, this is actually the reason why a guy gets on his knee to propose. He's reverencing the fact that you as woman are sacred. And you're like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Get on your knees. No, you're okay. Because he's reverencing the fact that you as woman are sacred. You are the crown of creation. Well, you know what's interesting about the garden? Adam and Eve were in the garden, but there was someone else around lurking in the garden that day. Who was it? Satan, the serpent, the snake, and actually the word in Hebrew is nechesh. The word in Hebrew, nechesh, has two meanings. It can either mean shimmering one, because Satan is a fallen angel, right? But it also means serpent. And if any of you guys are like Lord of the Ring Hobbit fans, imagine Smaug, okay? Like this serpent, right? And Smaug, like this huge serpent in the garden. And guess what? The devil hates two things very much. The devil hates love, because God is love, and the devil hates life. And if the devil hates love and the devil hates life, it absolutely makes sense who he goes to in the garden. And who does he go to? He goes to Eve. The devil goes to Eve, and the devil says this to Eve. Did God really tell you not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? For surely God knows if you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll become like gods. And Eve is like, what? But why wouldn't God want my eyes to be open? Why wouldn't God want us to become like him, like gods? And the devil knew what he was doing. The devil is called the father of lies. The devil, what the devil can do, because the devil's not a creator, the devil is a creature. The devil can only take the truth and twist it. So the devil goes to Eve, and the whole purpose, the devil lies to Eve. He deceives Eve into thinking that God the Father is not a good father. He makes Eve think that God the Father is a tyrant and that God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about his plans for you. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be miserable. And so God withholds good things from you so that you'll be miserable. That's what the devil tried to tell Eve. And Eve, unfortunately, she fell for it. And so we all know what happens, right? Eve takes the fruit and she eats it. And sure enough, her eyes were open, but not in a good way. Because before, she and her husband were naked without shame. But when they ate the fruit, their eyes were open. And now, instead of seeing each other as persons to be loved, they were tempted to see each other as objects for lust. And they went and they hid themselves. And sure enough, they did become like gods, but not like God the Father. They became gods in the way that now they can choose what is right and what is wrong.
And today we're still saying that we are God and God is not. Why? Anytime we do this, oh, it's not that bad. Come on, sex before marriage, it's not that bad. Everyone's doing it. Come on. And actually some people are like, sex before marriage, yeah, it's a good thing. Come on, you need to test drive somebody before you get married. We become like gods. And we choose for ourselves what is right and wrong. And we do this with all of our sins. I do it too. I try to convince myself it's not that big of a deal. Oh, gossip, you know, it's not that big of a deal if I'm gossiping right now. Or it's not that big of a deal if I'm lazy right now and I'm not going, you know, doing whatever. I'm not praying like I should be. You guys, we make ourselves gods. And so this is what happened when original sin entered the world. We became like gods and decided what was right and wrong. Well, here's the thing. The devil who lied to Eve and deceived Eve, the devil is still doing that today. The devil hates woman. The devil hates woman because she can bear life, and the devil hates woman because of her beauty, because of the fact that we are inherently beautiful and we show God's beauty to the world. Because God is truth, beauty, and goodness, and as woman, man, when people see woman, ladies, your beauty is breathtaking. Your beauty is absolutely breathtaking. And you can use your beauty for two ways. Ladies, you can use your beauty to manipulate and to lead others to sin or lead others to yourself, or you can use your beauty for God's glory. And I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to challenge you, maybe look into your life and see if you've ever used your beauty to manipulate someone to sin, because I know I have. Our beauty is powerful. And I'm not talking about, it's, you know, we think that beauty is all about the exterior. Well, it's not. Beauty absolutely shines from the inside out. The most beautiful women in the world are not supermodels, but they're the saints. Amen? Ladies, I think Mother Teresa is more beautiful than any Victoria's Secret supermodel I've ever seen in my life. Why? Because Mother Teresa shone of the light of Christ. Amen? She was one of the most beautiful women who ever walked the earth. And you know what? The devil always is going to attack our beauty. And the devil is always going to attack our worth and who we are as daughters of God. And so if you've ever heard these lies in your head, I want you right now to recognize, say, oh my gosh, I've heard that in my head before. If you've ever heard this in your head, you're not good enough. You're not skinny enough. Come on, you're too fat. You're too ugly. Look at that girl. She's way more pretty than you. No guy's ever going to like you. You're going to end up alone. If you've ever heard those thoughts in your head, which is probably all of us, that is not God speaking. That is the devil, okay? Because God, when God looks at you, his beautiful daughter who he's created, God looks at you and says, I have created a masterpiece. And God looks at you and he's like, listen, I don't create trash. Because some of you, I know when some of you look in the mirror, I'm pretty sure none of us get out in the shower in the morning and be like, I'm a glorious creation of God, you know? Like, we don't look at ourselves and be like, I'm wonderful. You know, most of us look in the mirror and we go, I hate my nose. I hate my hair. It's too frizzy. It's too flat. It's too curly. It's too this. I hate my muffin top. I hate my thighs. My boobs are too small. They're too big. They're too this. I can't stand my acne. I can't stand this. And we pick ourselves apart and we pick apart God's masterpiece. And God looks at you and God says, I didn't make a mistake when I made you. I didn't make a mistake when I made your nose. I actually think your nose is adorable. And God looks at you and he's like, I think you are beautiful. You are absolutely lovely. And you are my masterpiece. Don't rip apart the masterpiece I've created. God looks at you and he sees you as his lovely daughter. And you guys, so if any of you in here have issues of self-hatred, when you look at yourself and you can't stand what you see, because some of you in here probably might struggle with bulimia or anorexia. Some of you in here, like, have a lot of self-hatred. I want you to pray this. When you look in the mirror, I want you to say, God, help me to see me as you see me. God, help me, please. Because I don't know why you have self-hatred. I don't know why some of you think you're not good enough or you're too fat or you're too skinny or whatever. But I want you to know that you have a Father in heaven who looks at you and delights in you. Now here's the deal. The devil is constantly lying to us, telling us we're not beautiful enough, we're not good enough. And if you're like me, if you're like a crazy, like sanguine, if you're like very outgoing, some of you get the lie that, oh, you're too much. No one can handle you. You're really annoying. You're really loud. And then that might be true sometimes. But you know, some of you might get the lie like, oh, you're way too much. No guy's ever gonna like deal with that. The crazy, you know? And so the devil is always lying. And you know what? The devil is very smart. Because if the devil can get you to feel like you're trash, if the devil can feel like he can get you to not know your dignity and your worth, you know what happens? As women, if we don't know how good we are, if we don't know how beautiful we are, if we're not strong, the devil can get us to settle for his lies. And you know what the number one way he does that? There's the exorcist. The exorcist from the Vatican said this: the easiest way for the devil to get into our lives today is through relationships, and specifically through promiscuity, through sex outside of marriage, which is called fornication in the Bible, through impure acts. That's the easiest way for the devil to get in. You know why? Because it says in scripture, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So, which also means if you're not pure of heart, you're probably not seeing God. And when I was being impure of heart, mind, body, and soul, a lot of times when I was in high school, it's like no wonder I wasn't seeing God in my life. Because I was so blind by my impurity that I couldn't see God anywhere. I couldn't see him in other people. I couldn't see him at Mass because I was being impure with my actions, with my mind, my heart. And so it says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So the devil wants us to settle. The devil wants us to settle because God has amazing plans for us. Ladies, do you believe that? God has amazing plans for every single one of you. And the devil does not want you to follow God's will. The devil does not want amazing plans for you. The devil wants you to settle for what's just mediocre. The devil wants you to live a life of mediocrity, a life of eh. And God wants you to shine. God wants you to shine with his glory and to change the world, to set the world on fire. Amen? The devil wants you to live a life of eh. And God's like, my daughter, I have amazing plans for you. I want you to shine like lights before a broken world, a world of darkness. I want you to shine with my glory. And I'm going to share with you, there's a scripture passage of a woman who is, she settled many, many times because she wanted to be loved so bad. This woman wanted to be loved so bad that she settled so many times. And many of you have heard this. It's a story of the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, and we talked about it a little last night, we're going to go deeper. I'm going to share with you a meaning. Maybe you've never heard this before, but I think it's so absolutely beautiful. At the woman of the well in John chapter 4, it says that Jesus had to pass through the town of Samaria. And first of all, no, he didn't. It even says in your Bible in the footnotes, no, he didn't. Okay, it says no. Jesus didn't have to pass through that area because most of the time people passed around Samaria because Samaritans were seen as unclean. Samaritans had intermarried other cultures that had idols. They were idol worshipers. And so the Jews saw Samaritans as unclean. So most people would go around Samaria. Jesus passed right through it. Jesus passed right through it, okay? So he goes to Samaria with his disciples, and there he sits down at a well. And it says this, a woman was there at the well at noontime. What is it like at noontime in the desert? It's hot. Okay, most of the women would go to draw water from the well in the morning. They would not come at the hottest part of the day. They would come in the morning to draw water. Well, we all know, most of us know, this woman came at noon because she didn't want anyone to judge her. She didn't want anyone to make fun of her, to point fingers, because she knew she was ashamed of something. And that the women of the town did not like her, and so she came when all the other women wouldn't come to the well. And Jesus sits down there at the well, and the woman is like, what the heck is this guy doing? And Jesus says, can you give me a drink? And the woman's like, what? Like, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Because, f- First of all, Jesus was a man, and you never addressed a woman who was not your wife in that culture. You would always address her husband if you wanted to talk to her. You never addressed a woman unless she was your wife. And so she's like, first of all, like, why are you speaking to me? You're a man. And then she says, why are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? Like, this is doubly scandalous that Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. And he says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would have asked him for living water. And she's like, living water? Living water was like running water, like a river or a brook. Living water was clean water. The water in a well, on the other hand, the water in a well was stagnant. It had dirt in it and maybe sometimes animal poop, okay? It was not the cleanest of water. And so she's like, living water? Where can I get this living water? And he basically says, like, I can give you this living water. Like, anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst again. And she says, please, please give me this water so that I don't have to keep coming here to draw water. And this is what he says. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered and said to him, I do not have a husband. Jesus answered her, you are right in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. What you have said is true. Okay, first of all, can you imagine you go to the well one day, and then all of a sudden this random man is telling you your deepest, darkest, most ashamed secret, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and he doesn't say it with a look of judgment, but he says it with like complete love in his eyes. He's looking at you into your soul and naming the thing that you are most ashamed of. Well, I'm going to share with you, I'm going to break this open. What does this mean? Because numbers in the Bible mean something, okay? So the number three represents heaven, okay? Jesus rose on the third day, okay? There are three persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, so three is a number that represents heaven. The number four represents earth. We have four seasons. You have north, south, east, west, okay? You have four elements. Four represents earth. What is three plus four? Seven. The number seven represents perfection or completion. How many sacraments do we have? How many days of the week do we have? Okay, seven represents perfection, completion. And you know what's amazing? You know what the definition of a sacrament is? The definition of a sacrament is when you use earthly things like bread and wine, and basically through God's grace, through God, like they become the body and blood of Christ. And you know what's amazing? Who came from heaven? Oh my gosh, that song just came in my head. You came from heaven to earth. Okay, sorry. So old. Okay. So God came from heaven down to earth to show us the way. Okay. From the earth to the cross. Okay, sorry. I know. Lord, I lift your name on high. All right. God came from heaven to earth and God became man in Jesus Christ. Now, question, how many men had this woman been with? She had five husbands, and the one she was with right now was not her husband. How many men has she been with? Six. Do you know the number six is a number that falls short of perfection? That's why the mark of the beast of Satan is 666, because it falls short three times of perfection. If this woman had been with six men, what number was Jesus for her? You know what God is saying to this woman? First of all, he meets her at a well, okay? In the Old Testament, the well was a place of proposals. Multiple times in the Old Testament, from Jacob to Moses, the well was a place that someone proposed his love. And at the well, the same well, Jacob's well, Jesus is saying to this woman, stop settling for all these men who do not satisfy. Stop settling for the things of this world that you keep trying to fill this ache and this longing for love. You keep trying to fill it with sex and with these men who do not love you. And I am the one who is going to satisfy the longing in your heart. And Jesus at the well is basically proposing his love for her. He's saying, I'm the one you've been looking for your whole life. I'm the one. If you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. What do you say? And ladies, this woman, she basically realizes that Jesus is the Savior. She goes back into the town and she tells all the people of the town what he said to her, how he knew her sin and he loved her. And ladies, I'm going to ask you right now, what is it that you keep going to satisfy the thirst? Do you go to guys to tell you how beautiful you are? Do you give parts of yourself to guys because you want to just feel love for a moment? Maybe you just want to be held for a moment, and so you give yourself away to guy after guy after guy, and they're not satisfying you. Do some of you go to pornography thinking it'll make you feel better, and afterwards you're like, ugh, that makes me feel worse? Do some of you guys go to gossip? Do some of you ladies overeat or you get drunk? Do some of you try to numb with drugs, with maybe marijuana or other drugs? Do some of you try to feel better about yourself by talking about others, by bullying others? Have some of you done things that you're not proud of, that you thought would make you happy? Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe you cut yourself because you just want to feel something because you feel so numb inside. Ladies, I don't know what it is that you run to. I know what I ran to. I ran to guys in high school. I did the friends with benefits. Now, back then, friends with benefits meant like making out. It didn't mean having sex. But now hooking up means that. So I hooked up with guy friends thinking it would make me feel better. Thankfully, when I was in eighth grade, I told myself that I knew that waiting till marriage to have sex was an important thing. And so when I was in eighth grade, I made a commitment to myself and my future husband that I would wait till marriage to have sex, and that I wasn't gonna have oral sex, I wasn't gonna do any of that. Like, but I pushed the line, I pushed the boundary so many times. Like, well, it's not sex, but you know, we can go up to here, right? And I went to guys to tell me how good I was, because I didn't know that I had a father in heaven. And so many ways I settled. I don't know what you go to. For me, I went to my pride. I thought I was the shiz. I was like, God, you know, I was varsity volleyball captain. I was very involved in school, and it was all about me. And it wasn't until I was 18 and I had a conversion to my Catholic faith. I was raised Catholic, but I really had a conversion, a deeper conversion, and I realized, God, you are the one who satisfies every desire in my heart. God, I've looked everywhere to be satisfied, and you are the only one who satisfies this heart. You are the only one who pursues this heart of mine and will give me the true love story I've been longing for my whole life. And it was when I said yes to God, God changed my life. Oh my gosh. And I realized, like, okay, you know what, Lord? I'm going to give you all of me, right? I said it back to God. God, I give you all of me. Like, I was like, Lord, I give you everything. I give you my relationships. I give you my finances. I give you my talents. I give you all of it, God. Take it. So you know what I started doing at 18? I started praying for my future vocation. I started praying for my future husband. And I started discerning, am I called to be a nun? God, do you want all of me? Do you want me to be your bride? And we have some nuns in here. Nuns, where are you? Where are you at? I see one over there. Are there any other nuns in this room that I don't see? Can you give it up for the brides of Christ right here? These beautiful, oh, there's one back there. Sister, hey sister, up at the top. Any other? Oh, sister over here. Sister over there, sister over there. Okay, awesome. From the window to the wall. We got nuns who could do it all. What? Okay, sorry. Okay. I just made that up. All right. So, inappropriate. Okay. Ladies, how awesome would it be to be a bride of Christ? Now, the only hard part about being a bride of Christ is when you're married to Jesus, you always know who's wrong. You're like, dang it, I did it again. You know, you're like, clearly he did not do it because he's perfect. But I discerned being a nun in a college, and I was like, Lord, do you want all of me? Because it would be so beautiful to give you, you know, to be your bride. And I discerned in college, I started praying for my vocation. I was like, but Lord, if I am called to marriage, I'm praying for my future spouse. And for some reason, for 4 years in college, it was like a drought. Like there was no, like God did not want me to date. But he was like, Jackie, I want you to be mine and mine alone. Like he's like, I want to be your boyfriend first. And before the prophet Justin Bieber ever sang it. He was like, if I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I could take you places you ain't never been before, you know? And I was like, okay, Jesus. And he did. And I said yes to God. I was like, okay, Jesus, you're my boyfriend. Like, I really was like, Jesus, you're my boyfriend. And I'm going to spend time getting to know you. I'm going to go to mass more often. Like, I'm going to read scripture. And for some reason, for 4 years, there was like a drought. And then all of a sudden, after my senior year of high school, God brought this man into my life. And this guy really started to pursue me. And I was thinking, okay, this guy's cool. Like, okay, I'll let him pursue me. Like, sure, we'll start courting, dating. And this guy started pursuing me. And in the first month of us dating, I totally saw the googly eyes. And like, this guy looked at me with like the googly eyes. And the googly eyes are like, I've never met a girl like you before. Like, it totally was like, you're the one, you know? And I was like, whoa, slow down, tiger, you know? And I, for some reason, I wasn't too sure. But this guy was awesome. He was like a great Catholic guy. This guy, you know, my friends love him, my family love him. He's fun. We would go to mass and adoration together. He was from Seattle and I'm from California. I'm from Orange County, California. So we were long distance. And I'd go up there and then he'd come down there and we'd do this back and forth. But for some reason, you guys, I had this pit in my stomach. And I was like, what is wrong with me? This guy's amazing. This guy's an awesome Catholic guy. Like, what is he good? He's good looking. Like, he's fun. Like, my family loves him. My friends. Why do I have this anxiety, this pit in my stomach? And after 10 months of dating, it was just getting really strong. And I was like, Lord, I pray, if this is not my future husband, I pray that you give me great anxiety. If this is my future husband, I pray that you give me peace and joy. Help me to know for sure. And sure enough, this boyfriend was coming to the airport. He was coming to California. And right as he came to the airport and he came down that escalator, I felt this huge pit in my stomach. And I was like, oh no, he's here for 9 days, okay? I knew I had to break up with him. I knew it. I knew I had to. And being the coward that I was, guess when I waited to break up with him? Yeah, the 9th day. And I prayed, I said, Holy Spirit, you need to give me an opportunity because I'm such a coward. I hate hurting people's hearts. Like, I hate it. Oh my gosh, Lord, I'm such a coward. Please give me an opportunity. And sure enough, the opportunity came. And there was a moment in the conversation on the 9th day that I said to this boyfriend, I said, I love you and I'm in love with you, but I know we're not called to be married. I was like, I don't know why, but I know we're not called to be married. And he just buried his head in his hands and he goes, I have a ticket to Rome. And I was like, because I knew what that meant. My mom and my sisters, the next month, were going to Italy. And I basically put it together that my mom had been planning with him to come surprise me in Rome so that he could propose to me. Then I found out that he had already bought a ring. And then I found out that after he proposed to me in St. Peter's Square, he had contacted my friend Jacob, who was in seminary at the time, to set up a mass at the Vatican for us after he proposed to me. And then I found out that the day before I broke up with him, he had asked my dad for my hand in marriage. Oh my gosh. And you guys, my dad is like a total army guy. My dad's like not very emotional. My dad goes, I sat with him for 30 minutes. He's like, next time a guy wants to propose, I need a notarized letter from you first. I'm like, okay, Dad, sorry. You know? And I felt like I had stomped on this guy's heart. It was so tough. I cried every day for like a month and a half. And I know some ladies are in here. When you break up with someone, the devil swoops in and the devil goes, oh, come on. Come on, no one's gonna love you like that. Just get back together, come on. It's so lonely without them, because when you break up with someone, there's like a gaping hole in your heart, and there's a gaping hole in your life of text messaging and stuff, you're like hanging out, and so the devil always comes back in, and you all know friends, right, who've broken up, and then like 10 hours later, they get back together with the boyfriend, right? You're like, that was me, okay, yeah. We all know because it's lonely, and we know, but you guys, if you know that you're not supposed to be with someone, do them a favor, don't waste their time from finding their actual vocation. And don't waste your time. If this person that you're dating is not your future husband, why are you wasting your time? And then, this is what happened. This guy, 3 months later, he writes me this letter in the mail, and I get this letter, and it's so beautiful. He just basically says, Jackie, I want to let you know, I'm thankful for what we had, but I want to let you know, like, I'm doing okay. Like, basically saying, like, I've moved on, I'm over you. And it was just, but it was a beautiful letter. Like, he wasn't gossiping about me. He didn't hate me. And I just felt like peace. And then he had to use that plane ticket within a year. And so he ended up using that plane ticket to go to Peru for a month to spend with these missionary priests. And the next year, he actually posted on Facebook. He like tagged me in a note on Facebook. He was like, with all these other people, he's like, I'm engaged. He's like, but not the way you think. He said, this summer, I'm going into seminary to become a priest. I was like, I knew it. Oh my gosh, I knew it. Like, I knew there was a reason. I knew. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we were chased in a relationship because I never want to look at a priest and be like, I did that with a priest. Ladies. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I just want to, as an aside, real quick, ladies, right now, I want you to picture your future, if you're called to marriage, I want you to picture your future husband, okay? You're like, oh my gosh, he is so cute. Okay, picture your future husband. What do you want your future husband doing right now with his girlfriend? You're like, breaking up. That's right. So my question to you, ladies, is, if you don't want your future husband doing that with his girlfriend, why would you ever do that with your boyfriends? Because every guy you date is not your husband until you take vows on your wedding day. Even if you are engaged, you are still not married. Every guy you date could possibly be a priest, and I've had four of them. You're welcome, Lord. You're welcome, church. Okay. Four of them went into seminary after they dated me. I had a vocations director be like, Jackie, you should be the vocations director for the diocese. You just date guys on the run into seminary. I was like, that's not funny. Oh, God. I'm hurt. Okay, I need to go to adoration. Okay, so, ladies, every guy you date, you should first see them as your brother in Christ. Every guy you date, you should treat with complete respect as if he is someone else's future spouse. Respect him. If he married your best friend, how would you feel to tell your best friend, I did this with your husband, okay? Every man you date is not yours until you take vows, and then he is yours. When I started dating guys, when I realized that, I started treating my boyfriends differently, because my question then didn't become, how far can we go? Like, how far is too far? How far can we go till we get to mortal sin and fall off the cliff and die, you know? I didn't ask that question anymore, because I would never want to say that to somebody's husband. How far can I go with your husband? Right? No. My question then became, when I started dating, was, how holy can we be together? How can I help get you to heaven? That should be what you ask when you date someone, is how can we get each other to heaven, not how can we get each other to hell? Amen? Amen. Okay. So, what happened next? Okay, so this guy who was in seminary, actually, I can say this is so amazing. Last month, he actually was ordained a priest, and now he's father. Woo woo! Can you give it up? Yeah. So exciting. He's an awesome priest. And you'll look at him and be like, oh, Father, what a waste. No, because he's good looking. Kind of like Father Mike Schmitz. Okay, so anyways, all right. You all were thinking it. Don't lie. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful man of God, our brother in Christ. Okay, Father Mike, we love you. All right, so he is. He's my brother. All right, so. All right, so what God did in my life after this, God brought another young man into my life. And this time I thought, this guy's the one. This guy is good looking. He's Catholic. He's awesome. But then I started noticing in our relationship, I was kind of dragging him along in our faith. And you guys, to be honest, my mom is Catholic and my dad is not. I never wanted a relationship like my parents. And I'm here to say to you, ladies, if your parents have a horrible marriage or a pretty messed up marriage, if your parents are divorced or there's been adultery, if there's been an addiction of pornography, alcoholism, I want to tell you right now, you do not need to repeat the mistakes of your parents. Amen? Because some of you are so afraid of marriage because your parents had an awful marriage. And I'm here to tell you, you do not need to repeat their mistakes. Okay, you don't need to have their marriage. And for me, I said, sorry, I do not want a marriage like my parents. I don't want to be the woman who goes to Mass on Sundays and my husband sits home watching football. I want to have a freaking amazing man of God. Amen? A man who's going to get me to heaven, because I'm a strong woman and I need a strong man. Amen? Okay, ladies, know yourself. Okay, know yourself. I need a man of God. I'm not gonna sit with a guy who I have to drag along our whole marriage. I'm not gonna date a guy to convert. I don't flirt to convert, okay? I want a man who's going to lead me, and we're going to lead each other, and we're going to run this race to heaven, okay? So I started dating this guy, and I realized I was dragging him along, and I was like, oh, man. And so my friend's mom gave me this 54-day rosary novena book, and let me tell you, I had never prayed a rosary for 54 days in a row, ever. And so when she gave me this book, I was like, oh, that's nice, and I went and put it away somewhere. And then when I realized I had to pray for this boyfriend, I was like, where's the novena book? Okay, so I got the novena book, and what it is, it's 27 days in petition for something you want, and 27 days in thanksgiving, whether or not you got what you wanted, okay? Because it's not like, God's not an ATM machine. You basically pray for something, but you're like, Lord, but your will be done. Okay, whether or not I get what, you know, I want your will to be done over anything. So I prayed, and I started praying for this boyfriend to go to daily mass, because I had been going to daily mass since I was 18 years old. I was like, why wouldn't you want to see Jesus more than once a week? And so I started praying for this boyfriend to go to daily mass. I prayed for 27 days, my rosary. And on the 27th day, it was a Saturday. The next day was Sunday, and I started my Thanksgiving phase, and he went to mass on Sunday because he's Catholic. And the next day, Monday, he texted me. He was like, I'm offering up mass for you this morning. And I was like, what? It's Monday. And then he called me later that night. He was like, you know, I really don't know what's been going on in my heart this last month. And I was like, really, what's been going on? He's like, I don't know. He's like, but I really feel like I need to start going to daily mass. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's cool. Cool. Okay, cool. You know? And then we hung up the phone, and I was like, oh my gosh, it worked. It actually worked. I feel like a little rosary ninja. Like, this is so cool. It worked. And so for 27 days, I was so happy. I was so thankful. And so I prayed for the next 27 days. And then after I finished that one, I'm like, I'm doing another one. This was so successful. I was like, this time, I'm going to start praying for this boyfriend that we learn how to love and be humble, right? This very noble prayer for humility. Don't ever pray for humility. You're going to get punched in the nose like 5 times. Okay. Seriously. And so I started praying this noble prayer and thinking on the 27th day, he's going to propose. Every problem we had in our relationship would magically disappear, and he would propose on the 27th day. Well, the 27th day came. Beautiful, amazing day at the beach. And he breaks up with me. I was like, oh, no, you didn't. I will cut you. But you already cut me. I'm devastated. Okay, so I had to then, for 27 days, be thankful that he broke up with me. So I was like, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Why? And you know what I heard Mary say to me? She was like, Jackie, there's someone better. And I was like, I'm 27, and I thought I'd be married by now. You know, I got the little high voice that all go, okay, that voice, you know. And so, you know what? I was like, fine. Mother Teresa says be specific when you pray, so I'm going to be specific. I took out my little Mary book. It was like a little journal, and I wrote for Dear Mama Mary, I consecrate my future husband to you. I pray that he is passionately Catholic. I pray that he loves daily mass. He loves the rosary. I pray that he is ruggedly handsome. I pray that he watches The Office, because I want the same sense of goofy humor. Okay, so... yeah, and Parks and Rec. Okay, it wasn't around the time. Yeah. So I, like, for 3 pages, wrote everything I wanted my future husband, like, mostly, like, really good. Not, like, vain, always vain things, like, ruggedly handsome, but it was true. I wanted a rugged man. Okay, so I was like, I pray that he is taller than me, because I'm a big woman. So then every month I wrote in that journal praying for my future husband, and guess what? For 3 years I wrote in that journal. Every month I prayed. I said, Dear Jesus, 8 pounds, 7 ounce baby Jesus, I pray that, you know, pray for my future husband. Wherever he is, I pray that he is growing in faith, hope, and love. And for 3 years, I wrote in this journal, and I was getting towards the end of my book, and I was like, oh, no. And I had, like, a few pages left, and I wrote, like, Dear baby Jesus, first of all, my ovaries are ticking, tick, tick. Bring them soon. And I was like, secondly, I only have a few pages left of this book, which either means you're going to bring me my future husband really soon, or I'm going to have to start writing really small, please, you know, okay, so, I'm such a girl. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do another 54-day rosary novena, okay, I haven't prayed one in like 3 years, I'm going to do another one for my future spouse wherever he is. Well, I decided I was going to end it on August 15th, the Solemnity of Our Lady of the Assumption, and so I counted 54 days backwards, I started June 23rd, well, June 24th, I re-meet a young man named Bobby Angel, his last name's Angel, you guys. I like my last name, Francois, and I always pray, like, Dear Lord, please don't let me marry a guy whose last name is, like, Floofenhoffen or Farfenugan. Okay. Bobby Angel re-comes into my life. It's a long story. I only have a few more minutes left, so I can't really tell all the details. But basically, we re-meet. We were friends for a year and a half, and we meet at the Theology of the Body Institute, which is an amazing place to go be formed about theology of the body. And we basically, it was so strange. We, like, knew. We knew. I can't tell you. People say, how do you know you know? You know. It's like, when you, especially when you're older, you know yourself. We knew. And after a few months, he came out to California with his brother, and basically, we want to make sure, like, this wasn't a summer. Yeah, you're all, we know his brother, he's here. Yeah, I know, he's awesome. No, yeah. So, anyways, they came out to California to make sure this was the real deal, and when he got back, his dad was like, so, is this girl, is she the one? And Bobby kind of waits for a second, and his brother goes, if he doesn't say yes, he's an idiot, you know? So Bobby's like, yeah, this is the one. Well, sure enough, they go home, and they go and buy a ring. Well, 3 months later, when Bobby proposes, I'm like all excited and it's great. And I ask him, like, when did you buy the ring? Like, when did you ask my dad? I'm asking all these questions. And I'm like, when did you buy the ring? He's like, oh, I bought the ring on August 15th. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, yes. I said, well, I was praying a rosary novena for my future husband. And I didn't know who he was at the time. And in the beginning, I didn't know who he was. At the end, you bought our engagement ring. And I just laughed. I said, God, you have quite the sense of humor. Like, God, your plans are way more amazing than my own. And you know what's amazing? On our wedding day, and I'm going to show you a picture of our wedding picture. This is Bobby and me. I know, he's so cute, huh? Oh, man. I know, he is ruggedly handsome, but he's mine. Back off. Okay. Bobby Angel. Ladies, on our wedding day, I gave him the journal that I had written for him for 3 years. Actually, it had been 4 years at the time. And you know what he handed me on our wedding day? On our wedding day, he gave me a journal that he had been writing of the whole year that we had been dating. And he didn't know I had a journal, and I didn't know he had one. And we gave it to each other on our wedding day. And I sat there on the night of our wedding, and I was reading all these beautiful things he had written to me, these beautiful love notes. And I was just like, Lord, God, the devil wanted me to settle so many times. And people told me I was too picky. People told me, like, oh, come on, Jackie, just settle. And I'm like, sorry. I'm sorry. I would rather be single and alone and happy and joyful in the Lord than be miserable in a marriage. Amen? Ladies, I'm here to tell you, first of all, ladies, I will tell you, it took 28 years for God to bring the man of my dreams to me. But I will say the reason why it was so easy to know is because first I fell in love with Jesus Christ. I first fell in love with the real bridegroom. And you know what? On our wedding day, Bobby was next to me and Jesus was right in front of us at the altar in the Eucharist. And I was like, Jesus, you are my bridegroom and you brought me the best man. Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for being a part of our marriage. Because I know that without you, God, you satisfy our hearts. And this man is not perfect. Bobby, he's not perfect. I'm not a perfect woman. God, we need you. Ladies, the best advice I could give you, if you want to follow God's plan for your life, if you want to follow God's love story for you, because God has an amazing love story. Me and Bobby, our marriage is not a fairy tale. I'm standing up here, and there are thousands of other Catholic couples that I could name for you who have amazing, beautiful, holy marriages in God. And you know what? They're all different. We're all different. We all have our own little quirks. We have our own little annoyances. And God brought us, our spouses and us, together. And God has a plan for you. Every single one of you deserves a Bobby Angel, but not mine, because he's mine. Okay, but you all deserve a man who loves and respects you, a man who's going to lead you to heaven. Amen? Because Bobby, when I met Bobby, Bobby did not pressure me to have sex with him. No, no, a complete opposite. He was like, Jackie, I want to get you to heaven. And complete, you know how I knew he was finally the one? Because for the first time in a relationship, I could actually be me. I didn't have to put on a mask. I didn't have to pretend to be somebody else, which I did with every other boyfriend. I had to hide maybe that I was like a goofball, or I had to hide that I went to daily mass. With Bobby, I could fully be myself, that I went to daily mass. I love the rosary. I'm consecrated to Our Lady. And yes, I talk about poop. And when we talked about poop in our third conversation, Bobby's like, I'm going to marry this girl. I didn't have to hide myself, but he was like, this is the woman. And I love all of her. And I'm going to lead her to heaven. And ladies, every single one of you who is called to marriage, you deserve someone who's going to get you to heaven too, because the ultimate bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is waiting for you. Amen? So let Jesus satisfy the desires of your hearts. And right now, we're going to pray. We're going to close in prayer. Because again, ladies, I don't know where you are going to satisfy the longing and the desires. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know the pain that is in your life. I don't know the hurt that is in your heart. But right now, I want you to let Jesus take your heart. Maybe a heart that's in knots. Maybe a heart that has been violated. Maybe some by your own father, your own sibling. Maybe some of you feel like you're not worth anything. Maybe some of you right now feel like you're trash. And I want to tell you right now, God the Father looks at you and he doesn't see trash, but he sees a masterpiece. And so I want you to close your eyes right now. I just want you to open your hands and just as a sign of openness. And I want you to, I just want to pray for God's healing. God, thank you so much for creating us as your beautiful daughters. Thank you for giving us so much worth. Thank you for creating us to love and to be loved. God, we know that you and you alone satisfy every desire of our hearts. God, your love is better than life itself. God, I am so sorry for the ways that I've given myself to others who are not my husband. God, I'm sorry for the ways I have forgotten how much you love me. I pray for my sisters in Christ in this room. I pray for their burdens to be lifted. And ladies, if you feel the need to go to confession, don't just go, but run. Run, and God will make you new creations. God wants to take any sin that's been weighing you down, and he wants to free you from it. Run to confession and say, God, I want to be free again. I want to be free. God the Father, God, you have amazing plans for us. Help us to trust you. And ladies, I just want to make this a prayer to God our Father, and just close your eyes and just pray this with me. Give God your heart. Say, God, help me to use my beauty for your glory. Help me to use everything that I am for your glory. Help me to trust you. Help me depend on you alone. Help me to love you and have faith. Like a child, my hands are lifted high. Pick me up, hold me close in your arms. Don't let go. Draw me near to your heart. Be with me. Lord, you secure me when in peace I lie down to sleep. I know you hear me when I pray like a child. My hands are lifted high. Close in your arms, don't let go. Draw me near to your heart. Be with me, God, my Father. I am your child.
child. Be with me. Sing that with me. I'm your child.
I am your child. I am your child. I am your child.
Be with me.
Be with me.
Pick me up, hold me close.
Pick me up, hold me close.
In your arms.
In your arms.
Don't let go, don't let go.
Draw me near.
Draw me near to your heart.
To your heart.
Be with me.
Be with me. God, my Father, pick me up. Hold me close in your arms. Don't let go. Draw me near to your heart. Be with me. God, my Father.
I'm just going to prayerfully invite, we have cards for you ladies. I'm going to prayerfully invite the ushers to bring these cards to you, and we're going to pray this prayer together as we close this session. So I ask the ushers to go ahead and start passing out the cards to you ladies. So we're going to pray this prayer together. I know not all of you, but if you want to like look over to someone maybe who has one. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for the new life you have gained for me on the cross. I want to know you and love you above all else. Forgive me for the ways I have looked to popularity, relationships, dating, and the world to satisfy my thirst for you. I want you to be the love that satisfies. Therefore, I commit myself to you, to seek you as your disciple. I give you the gift of my sexuality. Please teach me what it means to love and be loved. Holy Spirit, give me the grace to commit to a life of virtue, chastity, and freedom. Jesus, I trust in you. Help me to receive your love. Amen. Let's stand and close in prayer as we ask Our Lady.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of death. Amen.
St. John Paul the Great, pray for us. All holy men and women, pray for us. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My beautiful sisters in Christ, I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to know how good you are and never settle. Amen. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies.